Am I ready to go now? Yeah, I guess I am. Well, what a beautiful day. So I'm going to make it really short, okay? So I need your help to really get this thing moving. So I need participation. So that would help me to speed it up. So I need a few amens, a few nods, a few hallelujah, if you want to stand up and shout. I mean, we're good. Yeah, I got a good one there. So see, that just shaved off a few minutes off of this. So, okay. So if you give me a few more of these, we'll make it really short. So if you got your Bibles, you know, go ahead and open up to the book of Acts chapter 1. We're going to read a little bit today. So if you haven't read your Bibles in a while, so that would be the time that we can open up the Bible and actually get into the Word together. So according to our Christian calendar, today is Pentecost Sunday. Okay? For those who've never heard of that word, Pentecost, it means 50th. 50th. Okay? It's the 50th day after Passover. Okay? In 2021, the last day of Passover was April the 4th, Sunday, April the 4th. That was the end of Passover. And you count 50 days is today. May the 23rd, 2021. I'm not going to get into the significance of that number 50. Maybe I'll save that for 2022. So you guys need to come back next year so we can dig more into that. But for today, I might talk about something different. We'll see where it goes, okay? So a few of those amens might make it a little bit different. We don't know. So, yeah. Nice, good. So Jesus appeared to his disciples for 40 days after the resurrection. Amen. Okay? Awesome. You guys are catching on. That's a good crowd. So 40 days he appeared to his disciples. He showed up. He hung out with them. And then he ascended. He was taken up into heaven. And he instructed his disciples to do something that most of us do not like to do. Any guess? What? Wait. Most of us do not like to wait. Right? Just like, I mean, we wait for absolutely everything. I mean, you turn on your cell phone and you got to wait for connection to get to the Wi-Fi. You had to wait this morning for your spouse to get ready.
Amen.
Right. So many of us, we had to wait for something. And we don't like to wait. But that's part of life. We got to wait. And today you might be sitting next to the person that you waited on for. Yeah, you had a few conversations on the way to church. We did preach on forgiveness last week. So maybe we got it covered from last week. So if you got, let's start with Acts chapter 1. So that's the reason why I was going to title this message, Wait. But then I thought it might not be a very popular title. So I went with Pentecost Sunday, with the flames. So let's read. Acts chapter 1, we start reading in verse 1. This is the prologue, and then we dig more into it. It starts with the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, and after He, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostle whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom. So here he appeared after the resurrection for 40 days and he spoke to the disciples, teaching them about things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And in verse 4, it says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to what? To wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Stay and wait. How long? We don't know, but we can do the math today. We can do the math today. But they had no idea. They were just told to wait, and not many days from now. It could be 5 days. It could be 10 days. It could be 100 days. But they were told to stay and wait. And they had no idea how long. And in verse 6, it says, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or season which the Father has put in his own authority. In other words, they were clueless. Their expectation was misplaced. And Jesus right there, I would take this as a rebuke. None of your business. But Jesus said it in a better way. He said, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father has put in his own authority. And then in verse 8, he explained the reason why they had to wait. In verse 8, Jesus said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So the final instruction was to stay and wait for the power of the Holy Spirit. Don mentioned the word dynamite today. That same word dynamite is used right here with the word power. Dunamis. The word translated here for power in the Greek is dunamis, the same word where we get the word dynamite. So Jesus was saying, stay and wait until you receive the dynamite. The dynamite power of the Holy Spirit. For 3 years, they have been trained by him, Jesus. They have been taught by him. They have been rebuked by him. They have been prepared for ministry by him for 3 years. But here, the last instruction of Jesus to them, those disciples, was not to go preach, was not to go teach, was not to go evangelize, was not to go and plant a church, was not to go and heal the sick. The last instruction was to stay and wait. As a matter of fact, his last instruction was, don't do anything else but stay and wait. Do you know how hard that must have been for Peter? Peter was a man that was all about that action. He wanted to do stuff. But here, the instruction was to stay, wait, do nothing. How hard would that be for you? If God tells you to do nothing, nothing but wait. Some of us who struggle with that is we want to do stuff. We want to go and do what we've been trained to do. We might even argue with God, Lord, you've trained me to do this. And this is my time. This is my Esther time. This is a for such a time as this time. You've trained me, Lord. This is my calling. I am called to lead. I am called to teach. I am called to preach. And when the answer comes from God, and the answer is a simple wait. Do nothing but wait. We might struggle with that. We might even ask the question, wait for what? Wait for what? I'm ready to go. I've been trained to do this. But God is saying, wait. Whatever God has called you and I to do, we cannot do it in our own strength. We cannot do it in our own strength. We must wait for that dunamis power, that Holy Spirit power, before we engage in whatever task or assignment that God has for you and me. The reason why they had to wait, because they could not do it in their own strength. God said, wait until you are empowered from above with the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit. Because you will not be able to do it in your own strength. Let me prove it to you. Let me prove it to you with the word. That you cannot do it in your own strength. You might think now that, hey, you know what? I've arrived. I can do it. I've been trained for this. The doors have been opened. The angels have been singing. Oh, you've heard it. You're ready to go. But the word from the Lord is wait. Let's take a test. How about loving your enemies? That's a good test. Let's see how well we do with that. In Matthew 5:54. And here's the test. Let's see if we can take this test together this morning. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Wow. Wait a minute. Are we reading this right? Is this right? Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Are you serious? No, I mean, seriously. I mean, is this from the Word of God? How can you pray for someone who spitefully use you? Who is persecuting you? Who is abusing you? Who is cursing you? These are red letter words. These are the words of Jesus. Relevant for us today. Now you might think, okay, you know what? That might apply for pastors in fancy suits. It might not apply to me. Well, I've got news for you. If you call yourself a Christian, it applies to you. It applies to me. Now, that's a tough principle. It's really tough to do this. It's really hard to love your enemies. In your own strength, you can't do it. This is why Jesus was saying, stay and wait. Because the principle that he has been teaching us, you cannot do those principles in your own strength. It is impossible to love your enemies, to bless them who's cursing you. But in the power of the Holy Spirit, when you're empowered by that dunamis power, you're operating at a higher level at that time. You're no longer operating with your own emotions anymore. You're not even operating in your own natural mind anymore. Because it doesn't make sense to go around and to pray for those who are hurting you. To forgive those who have wrongfully used you. You see, Jesus did not just leave you and me with a list of principles without giving us the power to live out those principles. That's the reason why we wait. We wait for the Holy Spirit to do it. We wait for the Holy Spirit to open up the door. We wait for the Holy Spirit for his timing on everything that he does. In John 14:15, Jesus said this. Because he knew that we will need help. That you and I, we will not be able to do it in our own strength. He said, I understand what you will go through. I understand that those principles would be hard for you to follow. You will not be able to do it in your own strength. But I am sending you a helper. In fact, he said that I must go so that the helper can come. Because Jesus knew that those 40 days would lapse out. Because you need that helper way beyond. Amen. You need this helper every single day of your life. Yes. You cannot do life without this helper. That's why Jesus said, I must go. So that this helper can come. And come and live and abide inside of you. And Jesus said it here. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my principles. Keep every word that I've said. And this every word that Jesus has said is love your enemies. We are commanded to do it. It was not just a suggestion. It was a commandment. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then he said, I will pray the Father. I will pray. And I must go so I can tell the Father that you can now send the Holy Spirit. And he said, he will give you another helper. And here's that part there that is important. That he may abide with you. Forever. In every season. As you transition from out of Kodiak and going over there, wherever God has called you to go, that same power of the Holy Spirit abides in you. Forever. In you. In you. He will never leave you nor will he ever forsake you. It's that Spirit of God that is in you that will never leave you. It is that same Spirit when you are messing up and you're going in the wrong direction. It is that same Spirit that would steer you back, bring you back on course. It is that same Spirit that will even instruct you to do something that is out of the ordinary. Something that you're not even planning on doing. All of a sudden there's, I woke up this morning and I had this feeling. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's something that I ate last night. Maybe it's something else. But really it's the Holy Spirit if you really stop and think about it. Sometimes it's the Holy Spirit that is quickening our own spirit, our spirit man, and saying, hey, you know what? That's a wrong path. Change course. Change the way that you speak. Change the friends who you hang around with. It's that spirit that is living and abiding in you that dictates every move that you make. So here was to stay and wait. If you love me, keep my commandments. Basically what he's saying is that if you love me, if you call yourself a Christian, obey my principles. But you will not be able to obey all of them in your own strength. You need the power of this helper, the Holy Spirit. That is why Acts 1:8, those words are so powerful, are so relevant for us even today. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Has come upon you, meaning has come and made a permanent residence in you. The Father creates. The Son redeems. But the power of the Holy Spirit in you empowers you to do whatever God has called you to do. So you say, wait for what? Wait for the power of the Holy Spirit. Wait for the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't try to do it in your own strength. Don't try to let your natural mind dictate the way that you flow, that you do life. Let the Holy Spirit take charge of this. He knows the right time. He knows the right connection. He knows the right people. Let him establish those connections. Sometimes it's best to stay out of his way. Yeah. Amen. Let him do it. You don't need to fabricate things to make it sound spiritual. If it is God, guess what? It's going to speak for itself. Amen. You don't have to take a situation, attach a few scriptures to it to make it powerful. Yeah. Let the situation itself speak and give glory to God. Yeah. That is when you step out and you allow the Spirit of the living God to do what you cannot do. What do you do while you wait? They had no idea. They were waiting for 10 days. Jesus said, a few days from now, the Holy Spirit is coming. How long is that, Jesus? I mean, if I were there, I'm like, give me a number. I'm a numbers guy. Okay, give me a number. I know 40. I mean, I'll do the math in my head. Okay, we've waited that long. And guess what? We're in a place in Jerusalem where they're persecuting Christians. At that time, they were not even called Christians. They were followers of Jesus. So whoever was a follower of Jesus was in danger. Their lives were in danger. But yet the instruction was to stay and wait. Wait in that place of danger. Does that make any sense? Probably not. If in my mind, it's like, okay, you know what? Jesus is here. We hung out with him for 40 days. We walk with him, we talk with him, and he was all fine. Guess what? He's gone now. I mean, I got a job to do. I mean, I'm a fisherman. I got to get going. I got mouths to feed. I mean, you would think about everything in your natural mind, but the instruction was to stay in a place of hardship, in a place where you've been persecuted, in a place where you have enemies that at any given moment in time want to take your life. But yet again, the instruction was to stay and wait. So what do you do when God gives you a word just to wait? Have you heard the expression, hurry up and wait? Who came up with that anyway? I think I've heard that the first time when I was on base. I mean, I used to be a counselor there. So that's the first time I heard, this is the military standard. This is Army standard. Hurry up and wait. And I'm like, okay. It's like, this is what we do. We used to it. So they'll hurry up to my office and they know they have to wait. And they wait. I said, we're used to it. This is part of our life. That's what we're trained to do. And that's exactly what you do when you go to Disney World. You go to Disney World, you hurry up. You wait for that bus to get you to wherever you need to go. And you wait. You wait in lines to get on the ride. You wait to get your food. You wait all the time. And I still don't get this, because they give you a fancy app where you can schedule stuff. But when you do schedule stuff, you get there in line, but you still have to wait to be seated. I do not get this. To me, it's like, hey, I'm there at noon. Well, I won't get there at noon. I will get there 10 minutes before noon. Get there at 8 a.m. This is something that I'm trying to teach them. Please help me. See, everybody's with me here. I like to get anywhere I go at least 10 minutes or 15 minutes. Not 2 hours, maybe like 15, 20 minutes ahead. I get time to breathe. I don't like being in a rush. God put me on an island here for a reason. I don't have to rush anywhere I go. I can take my time. I don't have to beat rush hour traffic like we're talking. I don't have to plan anything. And guess what? I grew up in central London. God has a weird sense of humor. I was used to this on the dot, by the minute, by the second, the train, the subway is coming. I know when to go. I mean, everything was like a plan to the minute. But I don't have to do this anymore. So I can relax. So Jesus brought me in the right place. Amen. So I can chill. But that's exactly what happened to the disciples in Acts chapter 1. After the resurrection, I mean, Jesus appeared, hung out with them for 40 days, but it only lasted 40 days. On the 40th day, Jesus leaves. It felt like he left them high and dry. Totally gone. Anyway, they were instructed to stay and wait. Like, hurry and wait. How many of you are waiting for God to answer a prayer? Some kind of prayer. I'm waiting. I'm waiting, Lord. I've got several of those. I'm waiting. I am waiting for God to answer a prayer. I mean, I don't know the answer to this question, but I'm hoping that you would be able to give me the answer. Has God told you, any of you, how long to wait for? Has God ever told you, okay, how long to wait for? I haven't got that answer either. So we're in good company. We're in agreement right here. God hasn't given any of us how long to wait for. But we've been told to wait. So what do we do while we wait? We pray. We pray. We don't stop praying. We pray. We pray as long as it takes for that answer to come through. That's what they did. Because they had no idea that it was going to be 10 days. We know. Because we can do the math. But back then, they couldn't. They had no idea how long to wait for. God doesn't own a watch. He doesn't own a watch. God is not on your time. God is not on my time. He's on his time. There's a time for everything that he does. But one thing we can all agree on is that God is never late. He's never late. He's always on time. So what do? While you wait, you pray. You pray. In verse 12, this is what it says. It says, then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when he had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. By the way, this was not the same upper room as what when they had the Last Supper. This one was a much bigger upper room because there were 120 people in that room. And in verse 14, it says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. They all continued to pray in one accord with prayer and supplication. Prayer and supplication means to what? To pray without ceasing. To pray until you receive your answer. You don't quit while you pray. The situation might not be changing around you in the natural sense. But you got to look at your situation not with your natural eyes, but with your spiritual eyes. Things are changing. You are changing. Your situation spiritually is changing. You just have to, Lord, open up my spiritual eyes. Let me see what you're doing. Let me catch a glimpse of what you are doing behind the scene. Pray without ceasing. The word in 1 Thessalonians says this, rejoice always, praying without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Pray without ceasing. When you pray, there's a shift in your attitude. You rejoice. You give thanks. You know what's going on behind the scene? Something is changing internally. Your attitude is shifting. Your emotion is shifting. Your demeanor is shifting. Your demeanor, your outlook concerning that problem is shifting. All of a sudden, the mountain doesn't look as big anymore. That problem doesn't look as challenging anymore because the power of the Holy Spirit has come in and has opened up your eyes, your spiritual eyes, so that you can see the greater God that is in you than your problems. That mountain is no longer a big mountain anymore. It's just a little bump right there. I serve a much bigger God. So you start to shift even the way that you speak. Word of faith would come out of your belly. And you start speaking the promises of God. Instead of looking at your problem and saying, I wonder how we're going to make it. Oh man, this is going to be a tough one. Oh, that's the, what's the show that, that old show, Sanford and Son. I was flipping through the channel and then I came across that show. I didn't grow up watching this, you know Sanford and Son. And the guy's going like this. I don't even know his name. What's his name? The old guy. Fred? Red? Okay, he's going, that's the big one. That's the big one. You might feel like that. But you don't want to say that. A lot of you young people are like, well, what is he talking about? I don't even know. So you got to ask somebody. Google Sanford and Son. But you know, you change the way that you speak when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You're changing your language. You're no longer speaking the same way that you used to. Your focus is no longer on the problem, but on Him. That's exactly what the disciples did. In that upper room, they prayed without ceasing. And 10 days later, on the day of Pentecost, their prayer was answered. Their prayer was answered. The power that they've been waiting for came. And this is what the word says. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord, in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They were in one accord. They were united. That's why I preached on forgiveness last week. I believe the greatest hindrance to the move of the Holy Spirit is unforgiveness. That will stop the flow of the Holy Spirit just like that. The Holy Spirit is always invited when there is unity. See the term one accord. In one place is very important and very well placed in this account that we have from Luke in the book of Acts. He really made sure that this was pointed out. He could have left that out because really the main thing there was the Holy Spirit came down, but he made this a point to say that we were all in one accord, in one place. Just like here. In one accord, worshiping one God in unity. The Holy Spirit came. And then in verse 3, he says, then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. It's like, I don't know if you can imagine this. There was a flame that could be seen upon the heads of each and every one of them in that room. And he says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were no longer in their natural minds. They were no longer operating in their own natural ways. The power of the Holy Spirit took over. Now that was dynamite. That is the dunamis power that we talk about. It came and rested upon them. Like tongues of flame. Like tongues of fire. See, the miracle on the day of Pentecost was not the fact that they were speaking in tongues. The miracle of the Pentecost was the fact that the Holy Spirit that came from the Father came and resided inside of each and every one of them. The power came down. And the power came to indwell them. To empower them. Now you might say, why should we believe and hope for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit? Why should we? Why do we need it? Why do we need this empowerment of the Holy Spirit? Here's why. Here's the best way that I can describe it to you. Without the indwelling or the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, you and I, my friends, we are helpless. We are helpless. That's why in John 14, 16, Jesus said, I will pray. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. That's the promise. It's that indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. Let me put it another way. Without the helper, his indwelling ability, his empowering ability, his leadership, we are powerless. Peter certainly needed the power of the Holy Spirit when he left that upper room that day. He left that upper room and walked outside in the courtyard. And he had his very first sermon. A guy who struggled with his words. A guy who was harsh with his manners. He stepped outside of that room, that upper room. And he addressed a crowd of people. He preached the most powerful sermon. Not in his own strength. Not in his own strength. We're talking about a fisherman who was probably not as educated as Paul, for example. I'm just drawing a comparison here. But yet again, with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, he was able to preach a sermon that made sense to everybody. On that same day, 3,000 souls were saved. Peter and John certainly needed that help, the helper, the Holy Spirit. When they said to that man who was paralyzed from birth, silver and gold I do not have, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, did they do that in their own strength? No. The power power of the Holy Spirit came upon them, put those words in their mouth, in their spirit, and they open up their mouth, and with authority that you have, with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, they spoke, silver and gold I do not have, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Do you guys know that that same power, that same authority is within our reach right now? When the power of the Holy Spirit is here, it comes in one accord. When we are in one accord, in unity. I need you to catch this. I need you to catch this. If you don't get anything else out of this message, I hope you get this one. Without the Holy Spirit, we will spend the rest of our lives roaming, searching for connection to God. I'm going to say this again. Without the Holy Spirit, we will spend the rest of our lives roaming, searching for connection to God. Now that's a pretty strong statement. I've got a picture I've got to show you. You might be wondering today, what does a picture of this cell phone has to do with a newborn crying baby? I know this is a serious moment, but I'm going to tell you something that my kids said on the way to church this morning. I said, what does that have in common? And our 15-year-old actually said this. You drop both of them. And I was like, son. He was dropped a few times when he was alive. Hence the reason he's the way he is. Now we'll get back to that serious moment. I think I've already blown it. They are both searching for connection. They are both searching for a connection. Dr. Henry Cloud said this in one of his quotes. Every human comes out of the womb searching for connection. When a baby is coming out, he's crying. He's reaching out. Is looking for that connection. There is something that God has wired in you and me that is always searching for that connection with Him. It is the Holy Spirit that establishes that connection. It is the Holy Spirit that makes that connection with God. Because it is the Holy Spirit that draws you to Christ Himself. you don't want to spend the rest of your life roaming, trying to find disconnection, searching and not being able to establish a connection that you were born with. You were wired that way by God Himself. But you don't want to spend the rest of your life wondering, looking, what am I supposed to do? Who am I supposed to be with? What job am I supposed to have? What career? What education? You need to establish the connection first. And let the Holy Spirit bring order to everything that He's called you to do. I believe a person is given a chance all the way up to the moment that he breathes or she breathes her last to be able to establish this connection. I'm going to share one little story about my grandma who passed many, many years ago. We don't know this. I mean, you know, I wasn't there during the time, but and we were all Hindus during this time. But the story was told by my dad, who was there by her bedside right while she was getting ready to pass. They were trying to kind of make her feel comfortable, giving her a little drip of water once in a while and kind of just kind of keep her comfortable because they knew the time has come. There's a moment where they were trying to talk to her and my dad said, she raised her hand. She says, stop. And they were all wondering why. Why did she say stop? And these are the words that she said, which really, I mean, when I was doing this, I was like, wow. I didn't realize that there was this connection. I wasn't going to even mention that, but that's the way that the Holy Spirit led me to come up with that last part there. My grandma said, stop. I am talking to Jesus. She used those words. I am talking to Jesus. We were not raised in a Christian home. I mean, we were so far from it. So today, have a little glimpse of hope that this connection was established. I don't know the answer. I can't tell you for certain because my grandma was not a Christian. But I do believe this, that we were wired in such a way that we are constantly searching for Him. The reason why God said wait, because He knew that you and I, we cannot do life without this connection. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nation. You were already wired before you were born. Would you please stand? Father God, Lord, we thank you today for the Holy Spirit. that, Lord, that you sent the power. To reside, to abide in each one of us. Father, we thank you for sending your Son who has redeemed us so that this connection with the power, with the Holy Spirit can be established. Lord, we thank you that we will no longer live our life roaming, searching for you because you are here. We thank you for coming and indwelling each and every one of us right now, just like in the upper room. Let your fire come. Fall upon each and every one of us here today. Quicken our spirit man to rise up, to open up to you, Holy Spirit. Lord, we make a decision today, here and now, that we will not leave this place without the empowerment of your Holy Spirit. We invite you here and now in our lives. You take control and you take authority right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And amen. I believe the Holy Spirit has come and touched each and every one of you. Wait. Wait. Pray while you wait. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you for coming. And we'll see you again next week. For those who are watching us online, God bless you. And we'll see you on Wednesday in Life in the Word. God bless you all. Enjoy the sunshine of Kodiak.